Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
It is April the 6th, 2021, and we're back at the Blue Table after a very long holiday weekend. A matter of fact, it was so long, I think I'm just more tired. I thought the long holiday weekend would have been well rested physically, but sometimes during a time such as the Easter weekend, you take that time to reflect. But good evening to everyone. And welcome to the Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. It's great to be back, and I'm hoping that you had yourselves a wonderful, a spiritual and relaxing long holiday Easter weekend for those of you who celebrated or who had holidays, especially in the Caribbean, from Friday to Monday. People like Rohan, they're probably asking for another day. Good evening, Rohan.
Good evening. Rather long holiday weekend, so to speak. I think I was out from Thursday. Most people was out from Friday. I was out from Thursday, so it's been a while since I've been at the Blue Table.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good weekend here in Nevis, though. I am more physically tired than anything. Spent quite a bit of time with these children I have here, and their energy level seems to be on a titanium battery level. But it was a good weekend in Nevis.
Yes, it was. And yesterday in my parish of St. James, even though I'm not there, I would have heard the reports. I would have gotten the reports on a great fishing tournament that took place there in the Newcastle area. And that was hosted by Dr. Janice Daniel Hodge. And from all reports, massive turnout, the great community spirit still alive and well over there on St. James. So I was very happy to hear the reports coming out of Nevis as far as that event. There were other events as well happening at the Charlestown Bay area, port area, Samuel Hunkins Drive area. So that was another event. Of course, we always have the kite flying annual event at the flats, another great event. So, and not only that, on the beach, and from what I understand, or from what I've seen, a number of kitchens would have made Nevis their weekend spot, their home for the weekend. So it was a pretty busy one. I do take issues with the St. Kitts and Nevis task force, however. I believe that there are a set of rules for one group of people and another set for another set of people. And that doesn't sit too well with me. And I believe that the time has come for the Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis to reconsider the powers that were granted to the task force and take back those powers to the cabinet room of the St. Kitts and Nevis Team Unity government. From all that I have seen, Rohan, we could have had sports day. The people could have had a good sports day. Churches, I believe, should be able to congregate again like they used to. Funerals, loved people cannot even have a proper send-off because they're only limited by numbers. The same thing for weddings. People cannot have all of their family and friends to celebrate weddings and the love and happiness with each other and for the bride and groom because of these restrictions. But yesterday was quite evident on both islands, especially on St. Kitts. And from what I have seen on St. Kitts, that this thing about the restrictions, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about the task force. And I applaud them when they need to be applauded, and I have done that. But come on now, man. It's very obvious that there are some favoritism taking place, and, you know, it almost as if they're willful to certain people. And I just cannot sit back and be quiet about it. And I will not be quiet about it. But before I can continue to make noise about it, let me just get a quick break in, Rohan. We should have done that on top of the hour. Let's hear from the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and Anchor Podcast, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Customer Support Portal, where we have made it easier for you to contact us. It starts with your question, email, a message, phone call, or a search on our website. Our CSP provides prompts and efficient solutions to your problems. We pride ourselves on treating our clients responsibly and ensuring your information is kept safe. Log on to www.sknDB.net and send us a ticket or email us at customersupport@sknDB.com. You may also call us directly at 869-465-2288, extension 1322, or 954-353-1003.
I'm very hungry.
Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure, touching the hearts and souls of families. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And I'm back with Rohan Isles, the guest contributor of the Blue Table. And I was speaking about, you know, some things that I've seen over the weekend as far as the task force giving permission to certain things. And I see police at events and people were just doing as they want and they just stood there. So, I mean, and we are telling people, Rohan, to vaccinate. Don't wait, vaccinate. And but at the same time, the people who you are not, who you are having your feet to their necks, you're asking them to vaccinate, the promoters, the event organizers, the church folks, people who would have loved to see their children playing sports, running, right? They could not have done that. But these are the same people you're asking to vaccinate, but you have other people, they're doing whatever they want. No, I'll shut up and let you speak.
You're not the only person who would have recognized some inconsistencies in the execution of the restrictions of COVID-19 protocols in St. Kitts and Nevis. Even here in Nevis over the weekend, we saw some stark differences in how the authorities handled some activities against the others.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:08, function at Long Hall Bay, I think it's called, over in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
The same event for Dr. Hodge. And, you know, music was stopped at 8:02. And, you know, the argument was, permission was granted for 8:00. And yet, I mean, when you look at that as compared to on the beach, activities would have gone on the beach and continue to go on the beach in certain respects into the wee hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the things people look at. And two, you know, I agree with you, especially on the issue of sports. And I made it a point not to comment on that and to see what would have happened during and leading up to the Easter weekend. And there are a number of events that, when you look at them, there is actually no real argument that any task force could be made for not having sports. None. Agrofest 2021, happy to see that they were able to have something this year. And you look at that from fence to fence, there were patrons all around. I mean, in most cases, many didn't have on any mask or anything like that. And so that is, when you look at the event itself, and you see how that is almost the same kind in a crowd environment you would have gotten at a sports event.
Yes.
And so if that could be allowed, I don't see why we couldn't have had sports day this year. And especially in areas where you have smaller schools. And sports is a community event.
Yes.
I am sure, you know, that would have done well for certain vendors and those kind of people who depend heavily on sporting events around that time of the year. So cricket continues in the visit with spectators. We would have seen over the weekend a bunch of activities with high numbers of patrons. So, you know, I mean, it, for me, it's disheartening. My girls are looking forward to running this year. Of course, they are talented in that area, but it's just the inconsistency, and that contributes a lot to people's mindset when we ask them to vaccinate.
Yes.
And ask them to partner with us in trying to get to the 70. So, you know, as you would have rightfully said, you know, maybe it's time for a reconstitution of those powers granted, and so that the application of the restrictions or the applications of the laws are consistent and fair. That is, and I think that is all that people are really asking for. If you're going to grant unto some, then you grant unto others with the mm-hmm. same measure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, earlier today, Rohan, let's stick to St. Kitts and Nevis for a second. I would have seen something where the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis will receive its a share of the COVID-19 vaccines through the, I think it's the COVAX facility. And that shipment will arrive tonight, if I'm not mistaken, just after 10 p.m., just after 10 o'clock. So officials from the Ministry of Health, they have confirmed that I believe it's 21,600 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. And this is as a result of the St. Kitts and Nevis participating in the Global Alliance. Now, from what I understand, the Federation would have secured its portion of the vaccines through the arrangement by paying the required sum of $223,660. And the CAFA, the Caribbean Public Health Agency, they would have paid to on behalf of the Federation, $96,163. And so the vaccines will arrive at the RLB tonight. And I will just say that just a report as of Saturday, I do not have today's numbers, but as of Saturday, April 3rd, a total of 9,540 doses of the vaccine were administered to the citizens and residents of St. Kitts and Nevis. And that represents almost 29%. If you want to be more specific, I believe it's 28.88% of the 70% of the government's target population. So that's happening tonight, Rohan. So we still have, though, there is an issue, though. Well, I do not want to call it an issue because I do not want to create an alarm. Well, it's an issue. It's an issue. Where the vaccination program, while it is progressing, it is going along, you know, smoothly. The numbers, though, because we have, what will happen if the vaccines, we have a remainder of some vaccines from the first batch. We don't want them to expire. And we have been encouraging folks all around to get vaccinated. Now, we don't want them to expire. So what happens? Here we are getting 21,600 more vaccines, and we have some that's not been used as yet. Talk to me.
Yeah, for those of us who are not quite familiar with the COVAX is the World Health Organization partnership with private philanthropical entities around the world that are securing vaccines for countries who, by their own standing, would not be able to purchase the volume that they want. And I think what people need to understand is that countries contribute to the fund.
Mm-hmm.
And your contribution towards the fund doesn't mean that you get the return of the same value.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a certain percentage in terms of your vaccination program. And so 21,600 represents 20% of the people of St. Kitts and Nevis in a vaccination program. In terms of the livelihood, or the lifespan of the vaccines that we have, I think what the ministry would have done, and I haven't spoken to anyone there, but this is just best practice and common sense approach, is that when the first set of people to get vaccine, remember that the the vaccination is spread 10 weeks.
Yes.
And so what is going to happen is that the vaccine that is there and has an expiration date that is coming up, I think, at the end of this month or somewhere around there,
mm-hmm.
those vaccines, people will then begin to get their second shot. So those vaccines are...
So those vaccines will probably be used for those with them. With those who be the people who will begin to get their second shot, right?
Yes. Just so that they don't, you're not losing or you're not wasting vaccine. So that 10-week period is going to run for some people, and those people who need the second shot, they're going to get from that batch that came in from Covishield, which is the Indian government contribution mm-hmm. to the Caribbean. So I don't think it's, I know, as you said, it's an issue. I don't think, as you said, not to create an alarm. I don't think there's an alarm there. I think the medical professionals were strategic in how they were giving the vaccines just to ensure that at least they wouldn't spoil, so to speak. So those people with their first shot and their 10 weeks are approaching, they'll be getting from that batch. The COVAX batch that is in, of course, you have to strategically plan those as well. And so I guess for people who are getting their first shot, they would look to get their first shot out of the COVAX.
Got you.
The COVAX batch, so that again you're not in a position, you're not in a situation where you are having bad batches or spoiled or expired batches of the vaccine. Of course, it's 10 weeks, so we'll see how that goes. I think we started vaccinated when? In February?
In February.
So
late February.
Yeah. 10 weeks. We'll see.
But not only go ahead.
I mean, in terms of numbers, though, I think you said 29%, specifically 28.88, this was 29% of the Federation. If you're looking at that as the numbers indicator, that is, we got 20,000 from India, this is another 20,000. If that is an indication, if this pace continues, we'll be at what, 58%?
58% when? By when? 58% by when?
Somewhere around May, if the trend continues mid-May or second week in May, that should be about 58% of people.
Rohan, are you sure what you're saying? 58% is next month. You're talking about next month in the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the first? Wait, back up. You're talking about the first dose, the first shot. Okay.
Yes, the first shot.
You scare me there for a second, sir.
No, because remember, you still have to wait another 10 weeks before you get the second shot. So, the first shot, if this pace continues, the first shot, 58% of the population should have had the vaccine, the first dose, let me say that.
That's in May, mid-May. So then,
in May.
You're talking about then for the first shot, realistically, and we're not... experts, folks, we're just trying to make sense of everything. So we're looking at then to complete that first, we're looking at maybe July?
To have the first set of people with
June, July, yes.
Yeah. By then you should have because you already have 29% of people with the first dose.
Mm-hmm.
So this is April. I mean, no, you could very well have 29% of the population fully inoculated by May, June.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so June, July, but then now to reach the herd immunity now, you have to go another February, March, April, May, June, if we're going by this trajectory, mind you, by this trajectory, then we add another 3-4 months on that. So we're looking at October, November.
Yeah. You see, I mean, we're not health professionals, but we got it right, because I think that was the same projections, former CMO Dr. Patrick Martin made about the country having to open up by October, November. So our numbers are not...
Oh, so we're doing good then. We're doing good then with our own calculation.
Yeah. Not doing too bad. But yeah, I think that is the concern in terms of trying to at least catch the beginning of a next tourist season in terms of opening the economy. Here in St. Kitts and Nevis, of course. So I think that is why there has been an eager push to get people to vaccinate, to get people to that 70% mark. But of course, you know, the challenges that governments and countries are facing with that at the moment.
That'll be awesome. And if it's 70%, then I can be home in, I can be in Nevis in December without quarantine and enjoying life as some sense of normalcy.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the no quarantine. Maybe you'll have to spend 2, 3, 5 days.
That's fine. That's better than 14. Speaking of vaccines, I read a story and it was a very... I felt very sad for the people of Haiti because up to this date, to date, I read a story on the weekend where there are no vaccines on Haiti at this time. And Haiti may not have their vaccine until May, they're saying. May, June. So that is very... I felt troubled by that to an extent.
You know, I mean, yes... Haiti continues to struggle in terms of its economic and social standing. Of course, you know, Haiti is a poverty-stricken place. That is what we see. And Haiti is one of those countries that is a prime reason why the COVAX facility exists. Of course, you know, COVAX, the facility is struggling with delivery of vaccines, of course. Countries, in all things, there's the political element, and countries are looking to vaccinate their people first and so on. And so I guess it's in terms of quantity to be delivered to Haiti and how fast COVAX can acquire those vaccines to pass on to Haiti. We say April, May. Let us be hopeful that they actually delivered in May and that they get to the people that they need to get to considering Haiti's troubles in the past in terms of getting help to the people that need it most. But hopeful that May will come and Haiti will get their vaccines. As I said, that is why COVAX exists.
I know. I want to talk about quickly Prime Minister Keith Rowley. Today it was announced that... he made the announcement that he was tested positive for the COVID-19. And I feel sorry for Prime Minister Rowley, and sorry in the sense of this is a man from since this COVID began, that he was out in front of the podium every single day preaching to his people who won't listen. Some call it talking down to them. He was really frustrated at times. You can see it in his eyes. You could have seen it in his eyes and his face and wherever. That he was frustrated because some of the citizens and residents of Trinidad and Tobago, that they weren't listening to his call. And now after 1 year of trying to get this thing under control, Prime Minister Keith Rowley tested positive, announced that he has tested positive for the COVID-19. But not only that, he should have been vaccinated. He was scheduled to be vaccinated today. And he got the news today that he has COVID. And the CMO came out with a statement right after that, and the CMO indicated that now that this has happened, the Prime Minister will not be able to have his vaccine for 6 months. Your thoughts?
That is truly unfortunate, especially the last statement you made about not being able to get the vaccine for 6 months. So, you know, I joined the Prime Minister, I think it's the Navy, so earlier, reached out to Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley, we should name a speed recovery. Hope that he recovers well and recovers stronger than ever from this COVID-19. And you know, it goes to show that we all have to be very careful and to be mindful of protecting ourselves at all costs, because one never knows.
Right.
And, even as you know, the Prime Minister continued, and I'm sure through his surrogates now will continue to call on the people of Trinidad and Tobago to, you know, ensure that they are safe, practice good social distancing and safety protocols, and to adhere to the restrictions and so forth. Set out that they be mindful that, you know, they're not out of the woods yet. And it's truly unfortunate. It really, really is unfortunate that he has contracted COVID-19. You know, the last I heard of Dr. Rowley, he was making a plea to now President of the United States, Joseph Biden, for COVID vaccines.
Yes.
And I think he got a favorable response from the president. And so I guess, you know, even in your well-doing, these things can happen. But I wish Dr. Rowley speedy recovery, and hopefully he recovers in short order from this virus.
And Rohan, we had other stories to talk about, but we're out of time. St. Martin, I understand that they're running out of money, according to Sarah Westcott-Williams. We will talk about that another day. Because of some petition that went off to the UN that members of parliament would have signed and sent off. The Hague, the Dutch, who is still over St. Martin, they are now retaliating that they are not spending one more cent on the people of St. Martin, for St. Martin government. And now we're hearing that the government, they're down to 26 something million guilders. If I do that in US, that's about 13, maybe 12, 11, 11, 10. I don't know the exchange rate, but between 11 and 13,000, 13 million for about 2-3 months. And that, I mean, St. Martin really needs to get its act together. I mean, the government, every time there is just something with the members of parliament and with the government of St. Martin. I don't understand it. I don't understand why they cannot just get it right. And the people are the ones who have to suffer through all of this. So now we probably will have a prime minister making an announcement soon that they don't have monies to pay pensioners, to pay senior citizens, to pay civil servants, to continue the growth of the economy on St. Martin. I mean, come on, man, BS. Every day it's something with St. Martin and its government.
You know, even as we wrap up here, Marvin, you know, I believe in St. Martin. One political party needs a clear mandate to lead. I keep saying all these coalition governments are not good for Sabre presently, because even in reading the story, it seems as if some members of parliament are hesitant in retracting the petition that they signed on to.
Yes.
So.
Well, we did say we're not going to speak about it, but we did. And the people, the government of St. Martin, the Prime Minister, Silvera Jacobs, I know you are away. I'm not sure if you're back as yet. Your son had surgery, and I my heart and spirit with you at this time. But at the same time, you guys need to get you need to get your stuff together. You need to get it together. And Rolando Bryson and Grisha Heiliger Martin and the rest of you guys just need to get it together. You guys just need to get it together. St. Martin has become, or is becoming, the laughing stock. I mean, and it is so amazing, Rohan, that St. Martin is like this as far as the political and policy affairs. But as far as the private sector and the economy, in terms of, you know, St. Martin, they say, is the capital of the Caribbean, right? It's a little New York of the Caribbean. And you'll be amazed to see the activity that is still going on. But as far as the leadership and government is concerned, it is just total hogwash. Yes, and we had to talk about Tortola BVI. Some things are going on there. They're very strict with their regulations, and they have officers, not police officers, but those who are out with their ticket books and will ticket you if you're not social distancing and all of that. I mean, I like that. I like that. Well, it's a way of making money too, but I like that.
BVI is the same one that issued almost 1,500 tickets this year?
Yes, BVI. It is the BVI.
It was BVI.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Foy is Foy, to me, is the real sheriff. Rohan Ayers, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight at the Blue Table. You'll be back Thursday, I believe, or sometime. We'll see how that goes. I know that you'll be on Freedom FM St. Kitts Nevis this Thursday. So listeners, you're asked to listen to that commentary by Rohan Ayers on Thursday on Freedom FM St. Kitts and Nevis. So until next time, Rohan, thank you so much, man.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Okay, man. Bye-bye. Rohan Ayers here for you of Nevis. And that's it. That will do it for us for the Blue Table for tonight. Remember to subscribe. Subscribe to the Blue Table. You'll receive your notifications. You'll receive the late breaking news. You will receive the interviews first. You just have to subscribe, download the podcast app, and subscribe to the Blue Table with Mervyn Hanley. Good night to you, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at the same time.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice to your tragedy. Television and life.